So we're in Ephesians chapter 5 today, and I want to start off with verse 21 as we did last week and read through what we went through last week, and then we'll continue on. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands. We stop right there. If we're talking first to the wives, that they're supposed to respect their husbands, and in this context it says the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. What do we expect when Paul turns and focuses on the husbands here? If wives are supposed to submit, then husbands should be... Don't go with what you know the verse says here, but what comes naturally to mind? To lead, right? If somebody's supposed to be submitting, somebody's supposed to be leading. If the husband is the head, then he should be a strong one, right? Going in there, taking control, showing the way. It's the stereotype that we put out there. But is that what it says? Husbands are supposed to submit. Oh, sorry, wives are supposed to submit. Get that right. And it says, husbands, love. Now, how does that fit into this context here of submitting to one another? How does this fit into the context of actually husbands being leaders? It says they are the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Rather than emphasizing today what it means to be a leader, Paul fully, intentionally calls out love. Now we're going to have to wrestle through this, men, as we understand what this means, because we have some misconceptions in this, I'm sure. But thankfully, Paul is very patient with us, men. In fact, if we just look at slide 1 here, slide 2, and slide 3. These all deal with the husband side of things. As opposed to where last week we had, how many slides for the women?
One,
yeah. So there's 3.5 verses that deal with the wife. And for the husbands, we get 8.5 verses. Guess who needs a little bit more help here? Yeah, husbands. All right, this is for us, guys. We got to pay attention this week. No elbows allowed. I saw that. No elbows allowed. This is speaking to the husbands, text to husband, not wife to husband here today. And I'm trying to be as gracious, I was encouraged, as I was to the wives last week. Is that how I was told to do this week? Husbands, love your wives. The context here, and there's two examples, there's two as statements. First of all, we're supposed to, as husbands, love our wives as Christ loves the church. That's the first example of what love is all about for us husbands. You need to understand what this is. The first example Paul tells you is, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay, so then we have to step back and say, well, what did Christ do for the church? First of all, he loved something that didn't exist. Before Christ came, there was no church. Right? There was the Israelites, they were there. And then Christ came, and he died on the cross, and gave his life to forgive us of sins, and something came out of that. The church. Those that believe in Jesus Christ, he became their head, and we became his body. By loving us, Christ called us into existence. So somehow, in Christ loving the church, he's calling something that was not before. So, husbands, think back a year, think back 5 years, 20 years, 30 years. When you met this lady, something happened that called in something new to exist. Love. And in loving her, she became more than she was. Love creates something new. Love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us, up for her. Love is also selective according to this. Who does Christ love in these verses? The church. He gave himself for the church. The selectivity of what Christ is talking about here in these verses for husbands is narrow it down, guys. Focus on your wife. Love her in a way that's unique and special and focused on her. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And unfortunately, adds this little phrase after that, and gave himself for her. I say unfortunately because this is the sacrificial part of love. Christ gave himself on the cross. This is what Christianity is about. Jesus dying on the cross, but in doing so, he suffered. He suffered for our sins, he paid the price for our sins, and he satisfied the wrath of God that we deserved. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Create something, it focuses amazing energy on her, and it gives completely and self-sacrificially. I'm not being easy on you yet, am I? So far we're only in the text here and looking. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Throughout these verses that we're looking at, both last week and this week and in these surrounding verses here, Christ keeps coming up. He's our example. He's the one that we're trying to be like. He's the one we are looking towards. He's the one that's shown us how to do what we're talking about in these verses. He's the best example for the wives. He's the best example for the husbands, and in the following weeks, the best examples for the children, and for workers, and for masters. Christ somehow manages to show submission fully in each of these ways, giving us an example of how we can live. Just as Christ loved the church. But husbands, it's also, just in case this is kind of theoretical and old school in one sense, loving as Christ loved the church, he brings up to us and says you can also love your wife, or in addition to that, love your wife as you love your own body. Now, wives, if your husbands take care of themselves, if they're tired, do you ever see them jumping up, going to help out, or they sit in their chair? I know how to take care of myself, unfortunately. So when I think about taking care of myself, it's unfortunately a rather selfish act. And yet this verse tells us to love our wives as we love ourselves. Now, I made the mistake this last week, actually before last Sunday, and asked Elizabeth, so what does it look like for me to show love to you? Thinking, hold her hand, buy her some flowers, right? Guys, nice and simple way. No, well, she said simply, Beth, you actually helped me clean up around yourself, clean up the mess that you made. How is that love? And yet, the text says, love her as you would love yourself. So if I can find out what love in her eyes looks like, and step into that, I'm on my way to showing a little bit of what this passage is talking about. Also, if I'm just a little bit more thoughtful than normal, Ray gave me a great example this week. I'll call you out, Ray. He was thoughtful and actually went out of his way to buy his wife a wonderful birthday gift. So, happy birthday to Angie. That's good. That's on the right track of loving someone else because we want them to be thoughtful towards us. I appreciate a thoughtful gift. I appreciate people taking time to remember me. As we love ourselves. Men, have you looked in the mirror lately and said, there's something worth loving there? Do you respect yourself? Do you love yourself? Not in the sense of just spoiling and getting all the goodies for yourself and only being selfish, but in the sense that you are a person of value, God has made you in his image, and that you're of worth. You do have to love yourself in order to love other people. You have to love yourself in order to be let go of your own needs to care for somebody else. You have to be confident in who you are and who God's made you to be in order to have the capacity to love people around you. So love your wife as you love your own bodies. And it says, actually in the previous verse, how Christ does this. He loves the church, or why he does it, is to make her holy. Love that we're talking about today, in one sense good, in one sense bad, is not about happiness. It's not just those flowers and the romance, which is important. It's not just the thoughtful deeds that we do and ways we look up. We love, in these verses here, we express love with this goal that Christ has, to make her holy. Now, when I get to this one, I'm stuck. Even as your pastor, I don't have the answer to this one very well. To love my wife in a way that I look out for her holiness, where I look out for her spiritual growth. This is true love. This is what Christ did when he died on the cross. It wasn't so we could have a happy life. It's not so we can have an easy life. I don't think anybody would say your life is happy and easy all the time. No. He died on the cross so that we could have eternal spiritual life. It's a spiritual element to what we are being called to today. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wife as your own bodies. In this, we're looking at this whole spiritual development of ourselves and our wives. This is a hard one. Only you know what's going on inside of yourselves. Only you know what God's Word is teaching you. And in some way, you need to be taking that truth and bringing out into your marriage. Building your wife, loving her. I was flipping through some notes I have kept from the years. And Elizabeth is a prolific writer. And so in 1998, I actually found a little note that said, thank you for leading our family in devotions. It was very special. I read that this morning, found it. I haven't done it very often recently. Maybe once, I think, when you weren't here. But it's something that she feels loved when I express love to the family in guiding them spiritually. So by doing that, I express love to her and to God. So guys, what does it look like for you to be the spiritual leader of your wife and your family? How do you express that? Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love your wife as your own body, in order to make her holy by the washing of the Word. So it is in the context here of washing with water through the Word. It's the Word of God that makes us holy. We need to be in the Word ourselves, men. We need to be sharing God's Word with our wives and with our kids. And for the broader scope of things here, since we also know that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, men, you're supposed to love your wives, and we're all supposed to love our enemies. So we should find ourselves somewhere in there having this commandment to love, right? This is what love is. It's getting the Word of God into our own lives and sharing with other people so that we care for their interests more than our own. Love. Husbands are called to love. We're not called to leadership, although we lead spiritually. We're not called to do many, many things except, according to these verses, to love. And under that, many of these things follow. So romance, good, shows the love, helps feel the love. Thoughtfulness builds that depth to the marriage. But spiritual leadership is the depth of what these verses are talking about. Making our families, our wives, holy unto God. Now, in this whole analogy, because we keep reading through here, as we keep reading, it's talking about Christ. No one hates his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Now, if you want to wrap your heads about an amazing analogy or amazing picture in scriptures, when God created Adam in the garden, he was alone. Recognize that. And in order for him not to be alone, what did God do? Put Adam into a deep sleep, and from Adam's side, took a rib and created Eve. Man and woman. She actually was part of his body. They were one. He had to love her as he loved himself because part of him was technically in her. Christ died on the cross, and from his wounds, the church, us, was born, was created. Christ is our bride, and he cares for us, his church, as the bride, as part of his own body. We are one with him. So the pictures we have of Adam, his body being used to create Eve, and Christ, his body, his death being made, creating the church, is this picture of what we're talking about today. And in the same way, husbands, figuratively, and in marriage, you're one with your wife. You should love her, husbands. Love your wife. We need to love one another in this. The conclusion of the matter in this chapter here, despite the analogies that Paul is making with Christ and the church, is husbands, simply, love your wife as you love yourself, and the wife must respect her husband. This whole section here is again under this heading of submit yourselves one to another. Submission in this context for the wives is looking to honoring and respecting her husband. Husbands, your command on this whole idea of submitting to your wives, since this falls under this category, is through loving. Christ, when he was at the last days of his ministry here on earth, in the upper room, and he was trying to teach his disciples the most important things, did he tell them about leadership? Because they were all arguing about that. Who's the greatest? Who's going to be this? The last discussion at the Last Supper? Did he say, yes, you need to be the best leaders? No. He humbled himself, got down on the floor, and he washed the disciples' feet and said, you're no greater than your master. Love one another. So Jesus submitted himself to his disciples by washing their feet. He submitted himself to us by dying on the cross and taking our sin. Husbands, and submitting to your wives, loving them, you're looking out for their best interests at your own expense. All of this has to be under the heading of being filled with the Spirit. We started out a few weeks ago when Jeff was preaching, where he told us that we need to know the Lord's will and to be filled with the Spirit, which included singing, making music, giving thanks, submitting. That's what being filled with the Spirit looks like. The only way you can do what we're talking about today, husbands, the only way you can do what you're called to do, wives, the only way we can do what we're called to do as a church, is if God is filling us with his power. Simple as that, and as difficult as that. I can't love Elizabeth the way I need to unless God's love is filling me. I can't love you as a church, as your pastor, unless God's love is filling me. So look around and look and say to yourself, what does it look like for me to love that person over there on my left? That's your left, my right. Now look the other way. What does it look like for me to love that person? There's going to be somebody probably behind you or in front of you that might be harder to love. But what does it look like for you to show this kind of love that Christ is talking about? Submissive, serving, looking out for the interests of others. So even though the topic is husbands today, and it was wives last week, we wrap it up with this verse behind me. Husbands, love your wives as you love yourself, and wives, respect your husbands. This is what we're called to do. Not because it's easy, not because it's what the world expects. It actually redefines the world expectations and says this is how we submit to Christ, by doing these things. You're going to have a chance this week in your small groups to wrestle through these topics again. Because it is important to ask your spouse every now and then, what does it look like for me to show respect to you? And actually, I found out last week over at Lovey's, the wives actually have a good idea what that means, more than the husbands. So if I was asking you, Brian, what does it mean for somebody to respect you? Can you give me an answer? I put you on the spot, so you're not going to answer me. No. We feel respect. Sometimes men don't know what it means, actually. That's a very subtle thing, depending on our mood. But do you, as husbands and as men, know what it means to show love to your wife in a way that she can feel and understand? This is very practical, and it's very deep. And I don't think you're going to get it figured out today in the sermon, which is why you need to go to home groups and talk this through. Actually, you can talk it over at lunch today, right? We're all gathered together for the church lunch. Love and respect. Men want to be respected, women want to be loved, but we both need to be respected, we both need to be loved. Words of the Apostle Paul to us today. Let's pray. Father God, we've moved through these verses today and looked at them, knowing that we need your help. As husbands, Lord, I confess my inability to love fully as I'm commanded, to love my wife, to love this church as you've called me to do. And yet we have you, Jesus Christ, as our example. We have the Holy Spirit filling our lives and giving us the strength. So our Father, we ask today that you fill us as a church with your Holy Spirit. Transform us, make us holy as a church. Make us clean and presentable for your glory's sake. Lord, this is not about just husbands and wives today. This is about your church bringing glory to your name. It's about we as the International Church pointing people to our Savior, Jesus Christ. So help us in these most close relationships that we have to be able to show people that Jesus Christ is Lord in our lives. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.